Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
What's going on, Sports City? It's your boy Sirius. Hey, like I did last week, I'm going to let this beat rock for a minute while I get in my zone, man. Welcome to the Week 11 NFL Wrap-Up Show right here on Sports City Tells Freeway. Talk to him for a minute. Alright, that's enough, man. I'm going to start freestyling out here, man. Call the number 929-477-2759. Lock and load with Sports City Chefs for the next 60 to 90 minutes, depending upon how we get in the building. But before I even get started, y'all know I don't do this by myself, man. I got my homie with me, my man. Mr. Villain took some time off, but he's trying to come back like Jordan wearing the 4-5. Barry the Villain, Jordan, what's going on, my man? Good to see you back in the building, man. How we doing today, man?
Villain, doing better, man. They tried to hit me with the, you know, virus, man. They're trying to shut the villain down, but you can't shut down a villain. I'm here. I'm back, baby. What's up?
Not much, man. I'm good, man. Cooling, man. Cooling, man. It's been a minute since I heard from you, man. It's good to hear you back, man. But before we get cracking, let me go and get Mr. Harvey in the building. He's probably the only one in the chefs besides T.P. Thomas that's, you know, in a decent movement. Mr. Harvey, how we doing this evening, my guy?
Man, black and gold one to give some people some false hopes for a few days. The LSU Tigers took care of business. They're doing what they're not supposed to be doing. So, listen, laugh at Brian Kelly at your own peril. And, you know, man, it's a good day. It's, you know, Thanksgiving week. I'm kind of estranged from family this week, so kind of holding it down the best I can. You know what I mean? But, like, it's always fun to chop it up with you guys, man. So, once again, thanks for having me.
As always, man, it's a privilege and a pleasure to get you in the building, man. And without further ado, let's start talking about it. I was going to save this for last, but being as though I kind of tipped my hand a little bit, on, you know, in the group chat, I wanted to start the show talking about the college football playoff ranking. For those of you guys who haven't seen it yet, the top four pretty much stayed the same with Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU running at the top four. LSU comes in at 5, followed by USC at 6. You know what, I ain't trying to hear from you right now. Alabama's at 7, Clemson's at 8, Oregon's at 9, Tennessee's at 10. Then my boy's Penn State's at 11. Barry, I'm not sure if you saw, but your boy's popping at number 16. But I wanted to talk about...
Wait, UConn at 16? Wait, what?
Oh, my bad, Florida State.
I'm just giving him a hard time.
I don't see UConn ranked in any college football playoff unless we're talking about, you know, women's basketball. But, you know, even they can't really stand for right now.
You got to go down to, like, 348 if you're going to find them. You know, like, listen, I'm an FSU fan from way back. When UConn moved to D1, I adopted him because I'm a UConn fan for basketball. So, I mean, I keep it 100. I keep it a buck. I could be rooting for the best team. I'm rooting for UConn here. I mean, come on. UConn? Come on. UConn?
Talk to me about UConn? Like, no. And honestly, though, Barry, you got to admit, though, earlier in the year, When your Seminoles got the best of my young Tigers, who I hadn't quite figured out yet, I reached out to you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't hide. I reached out to Sirius last week when the wrong black and gold won. But you know, it's all good. But you know, we don't hide.
Nah, we here.
We don't hide.
Absolutely.
But yeah, man. So my issue, actually, Mr. Harvey, you know, we kind of talked about it offline a little bit, but my issue, ironically, wasn't with where LSU slid. I do believe, like you alluded to, that they will inevitably fall to Georgia, thus kind of kicking open the door for a couple other teams to fall into potentially a playoff spot. But my issue is with Clemson, Oregon, and especially Tennessee being ranked 10th. And my issue primarily with Tennessee being ranked 10th, not only did you lose, but you got blown the hell out. Plus, you lose your starting quarterback. Okay? Now, people are going to call me biased, but Penn State's only two losses are to the number 2 and the number 3 team in the nation. I don't understand why. Now, again, this is going to be a little bit some SEC, you know, hate. But, the way this committee loves to, how can I put this in, say, PG, love on the SEC baffles me. Because at the end of the day, Tennessee is not the 10th best team. Case can be made Alabama, you know, it's not the 7th best team, but it's Alabama. So they tried, I feel as though they're trying to make a case for them to potentially stub their toe and back themselves into a playoff positioning if the stars were to align. But I wanted to toss it around the room, kind of see what you guys felt about it. Mr. Harvey, you're one of the guys I talk college ball with the most, so I'll let you bat lead off, man. How do you feel about it?
Actually, I want to defer for just a second unless you guys take issue with this. And I say that only because, first of all, I'm going to agree with more than what you think here. But I kind of feel like for Sports City, like this is a heavy crown to wear. But I feel like I kind of have to carry the banner for the SEC. And so I know you got your SEC hate right there, and I'm sure, like, Villain probably wants to pile onto that a little bit. So I'd rather go ahead and, like, take it all and then respond to all of it.
Sounds like a plan. Villain, talk to me now.
Listen, there's no SEC hate from the Villain. I mean, Tennessee's a better team than Penn State, seriously. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, let's be for real, like Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, right? Like, They have better wins in my – you beat Alabama, that's a better win, right, it off the rip. And you know, Penn State, they have two losses against two good teams. If they won those games, it's a different story. But Tennessee, they've beaten ranked opponents when they had them on their schedule. Florida's not that good, but they beat LSU, they beat Alabama, and they beat LSU at LSU, right, Mike? So on the road and blew them out. So they got quality wins. They deserve to be there. You know, now they're not going to get. There's no way. There's no path for them into the conference or the conference championship, or in the big championship. So I'm not worried about that. I think LSU has a better shot to find their way in if they beat a good Georgia team. Georgia is a lock. They can lose the championship game. They still get in. USC is the team that I'm going to watch because if they beat Notre Dame, they're a one-loss team. Michigan or Ohio State have to lose
if you know, if they win, they beat Notre Dame, I think they get in. If Notre Dame wins, that stretches Ohio State's claim. So it's a interesting kind of mix, but no, I mean, listen, it's going to shake out the way it probably needs to. TCU, I was hoping they would lose. Didn't lose. Michigan almost got the upset, but those teams are, you know, they win and they're in. They're putting themselves right in position to get in.
See, okay, hold on, Ms. Harvey, I'll come to you in a minute. See, I happen to disagree with that on a couple of fronts. First and foremost, A, that Tennessee has better wins than Penn State is downright laughable, because at the end of the day, Penn State didn't get blown out and lose their starting quarterback in the process. Their two losses are to on the road at Michigan, and then they lost a close one, so to speak, at home to the number two ranked squad in the country. So
that's two different questions,
again,
though. That's two different questions.
Well, hold on a second. I'll come to you in a second. So to say that Tennessee has a better win-loss percentage is laughable in the sense that you lose to LSU, okay, whatever the case may be, and then you lose to Georgia, okay? Like, I don't get it.
Who lost to LSU?
Hold on a second. I'm looking at the wrong schedule. LSU lost to Florida, and then they lost to Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah.
But Tennessee, but
Florida State, not Florida.
They lost to Florida State. Yeah. I'm watching today. See what I'm saying? I start talking college football. I get sidetracked.
Yeah.
But
pause.
Tennessee,
pause.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Tennessee, they lost to Georgia, and then they got blown out last week to South Carolina. Okay. That blowout
loss
right
loss.
There. Yeah, so you can't say that they have better on their resume when you get beat by a zillion points. And, you know, people are going to tell me, yo, the quarterback went down. That game was well over before the unfortunate injury, ACL injury, to their starting quarterback. Mr. Harvey, you've been waiting patiently, man. Talk to me, man. This is your warehouse, man. Let's go to work.
So, first of all, he didn't say win-loss percentage. What he said was Tennessee has better wins than Penn State. And they do, because, once again, they beat Alabama and they beat LSU. Now, on Sunday morning, we have the Thomas Sunday Morning Brunch, cheap plug at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Usually Thomas and I chop it up this past Sunday. TP wasn't available. So I did a little thing. You can find it with our episodes breaking down this whole college football Saturday a little bit. The big winner from this past Saturday, like I said on Sunday morning, is USC, because things are going to shake out. But I will tell you this. What the committee told you with these rankings today is if LSU wins out and they win the SEC, they're going to get in, period. I believe that Penn State has a chance to play really well this weekend against Michigan State. We'll see what Tennessee does without their quarterback. I mean, I understand it's Vanderbilt. The other stuff will shake itself out. This year, there's not as much of a need for expansion. Every team has had the opportunity to grab that number four spot. And what we may end up finding out is who backs into it. Because right now, there's a couple teams that, you know, they can control their own destiny and can grab these spots. If TCU, USC, Ohio State, and Georgia went out, that's it. That's all. Those are our four, right? And all these other scenarios and all these other things that we're trying to spell out, none of it matters, right? If USC were to go down, then, as you said, that Notre Dame game looks a little bit better on the resume for Ohio State, maybe looks a little better for Clemson. Now, I'm going to give you an SEC bias. I believe today, right now, on a neutral field, I believe a two-loss Alabama team would run a one-loss Clemson team off the field. I believe
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I've watched both these teams, and there's going to be a lot of people talk and push. And everybody's made a foregone conclusion that Alabama's gone, right? And everybody's saying that this is going to be Clemson if these other teams can't get in. I believe that even though their non-conference schedules were very, very weak, with the exception of Notre Dame and the on Ohio State schedule, Michigan really kind of messed themselves up because they got out of a couple of bigger games that they could have had this year. And now this Illinois game that they almost did not win definitely looks like a black eye on them. If Michigan does not beat Ohio State this weekend, they're not in, period. They have to beat Ohio State. Ohio State has a chance as an at-large with one loss to get in. Michigan does not. Would that non-conference schedule?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that, Mike.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think
they played the Sisters of the Poor.
No, I think it's a valid point, Mike, but I don't agree. I think a one-loss Michigan is better than a two-loss Alabama or a one-loss – or actually a two-loss USC. I think if they lose to Ohio State at Ohio State and they keep it close, I think they can push their way in. But that's only if USC loses. I think if USC wins, they would leapfrog Michigan in my eyes. But a one-loss Michigan is a better look than some of the two-loss ones, like a two-loss UCLA or what have you. So that's why
I get you, but I would bet right now. I'd give you 2-1 odds. I would bet you right now if Alabama and Michigan were lining up on a neutral field, I'll give you 2-1 odds. I'll take Alabama.
I would too. But Alabama had a bad loss. It's a bad loss.
But look at this. They've got two losses by a combined 4 points.
They didn't look good. They had to claw back in a lot of games to win. They've won a lot of close games, and then they lost those two close games. Those are games that Alabama in the past would have won. You know what I'm saying?
You need to be undefeated to get that benefit of the doubt. Nobody cares that Ohio State barely got by or that TCU barely got by because they're still undefeated. Nobody cares. But I'm just saying, like, you're right. Alabama could have easily lost two more. But at the end of the day, they're
they should have lost to Ole Miss. They should have lost to Ole Miss in my eyes.
They should have. But at the end of the day, they've lost two games by a total of 4 points. I don't think they make the playoffs. Don't misunderstand me.
Right.
But what I'm saying is if the goal is to get the best four teams on the field, like for the playoffs, I would take a two-loss Alabama team over a one-loss Clemson team and maybe a one-loss Michigan team. But I would take a one-loss Michigan over TCU. But that TCU schedule looks better. If you look at the rankings on that schedule, that TCU schedule looks better. Their out-of-conference looks better, too. I think TCU is going to have to go undefeated to get in. But if they happen to lose, like, on a fluke in the conference championship game on something crazy, like, I wouldn't rule it out. But I think they're going to have to go undefeated to get in.
I can't rule it out, Mike. I think at the end of the day you're right, but I think TCU needs that conference championship to get in. I really do, because even though their resume might be comparable to anybody else's, it's still a one-loss Michigan or a one-loss Ohio State or a one-loss USC versus a one-loss TCU. I would take those one-loss teams. If you're taking a non-conference winner out of, like, Ohio State and Michigan over TCU, I would take the Big Ten winner over TCU. Or I would take USC over that.
Let's be clear about something when it comes to USC, though, okay? And now this is a recurring theme when it comes to several of these teams, to be quite honest with you. USC is going to be explosive offensively. They have
– right.
And I believe that their quarterback may have just vaulted into – the Heisman Trophy lead with his outing this past weekend.
Yeah, Caleb Williams.
But this team can't stop a nosebleed.
Nope.
I mean, listen, as bad as Stanford is, Stanford put up 37 points on them. They can't stop anybody. And at the end of the day, they better really be able to score with them, and it's going to be a track meet. And I can submit multiple exhibits to you, A, B, C, D, E, F, of his time in Oklahoma when he went to the playoffs and thought they had a team that was ready to go and thought they were better defensively. Read all the hoopla leading up to the game against Joe Burrow and LSU. Read about how good they said they thought they were going to be. Right. So what I'm saying is I think that USC, if they win out, will make it. But I don't, and I expect them to provide some highlights offensively. USC is not a national championship contender, even if they make the playoffs. Let's not get that confused.
I don't see them beating Georgia. I don't see them beating Ohio State. So I expect Ohio State to beat Michigan this weekend. I don't expect them to do well. But at the end of the day, I do think that. So let me back up. So. If all things are created equal, so Michigan will have one loss. So give me how you feel the top four is going to go out on Selection Sunday. Obviously, Georgia will be one. Ohio State will be two. Give me three and four.
I think I would have NCU and USC.
I think it's – well, so I think it depends on what this weekend looks like as far as USC, Notre Dame, and – LSU, A&M. A&M's got talent, but nobody's blew them out all year, really. They've got talent. So let's see what happens this weekend. Like, that's kind of a trap game for LSU in a way because A&M has nothing to play for. Listen, they're trying to beat LSU because that's been their biggest rival in the conference, a lot of recruiting wars and that kind of thing. And A&M is trying with everything they have to finish 5-7. Okay? They don't want to go 4-8. So it's their Super Bowl this weekend. So, you know, but listen, if LSU somehow, like, blows them away and USC looks very unimpressive and wins, like, 48-45 again over Notre Dame, don't be surprised if LSU's 4 and USC's 5. But if USC wins handily, I think they jump to 4. I mean, to be quite honest with you, the only set of rankings that matter are the ones that come out the following weekend. And so just to follow up your question, I think it's Georgia, it's Ohio State, it's TCU, and then whatever, you know, the weekend will show it up. It'll be some semblance of
– It'll be USC.
LSU,
it'll be USC,
LSU, USC, 4-5. Yeah, but you thought USC was going to be number 5 today too, didn't you?
They should have.
Yeah, kind of. I did think LSU will go to 6 and anywhere. The reason why I sparked the question in the thread was because of Tennessee. Like, you got boat raced, plus you lose your starting quarterback, and you are ranked 10th, and your excuse is, again, because you beat Alabama.
And LSU. But at the end of the day, what this does for Tennessee, probably, and we'll see, they may not with a backup quarterback. If they finish top 12, which they probably will, then they have a shot to maybe go to the Sugar Bowl and represent the SEC in the Sugar Bowl. That's a possibility. You know, as far as one of the one of the other four major bowl games, which would be, I mean, and let's be honest, that would be a huge step for this program. As disappointed as the Tennessee people are right now, and they should be, they just got boat raced. But listen, I said this on Sunday, and let me tell you how bad this was. South Carolina put up 203 total yards against Missouri, and they put up about 220 yards total against Kentucky. They put up 640 yards this past weekend.
Right.
So, I mean, listen, this was bad. But if you had asked Tennessee fans at the beginning of the year, hey, if you were going to be relevant for the majority of the season in the college football playoff conversation and you're going to finish 10-2 with a very bright future still ahead of you, 99 ball fans out of 100 would have taken that going into this season.
I mean, I can't disagree with you, but at the end of the day, I still just can't. I can't look at what I saw on Saturday and say that, you know, they're a better team than Penn State, that they're a better team. Hell, I might, and this is a stretch, I might even put something like FSU or something above them. Like, at the end of the day, you got annihilated. Like, the stuff you just alluded to kind of proves my point. You gave up damn near 690, almost 700 yards of total offense, you know what I'm saying, on top of the fact you lose your starting quarterback to an ACL, and yet you are ranked above people because you –
They won't be at the end of the year.
I mean, I don't think they will, but, again, I'm arguing semantics because that's what I love to do, but at the end of the day, I think Penn State's a better team than Tennessee. Call the number 929-477-2799.
I think Penn State will get a chance to prove it, maybe in the Citrus Bowl against an SEC team, LSU, Alabama, Tennessee. So we'll see.
Yeah,
put them on the line. Let's
go.
Tennessee, Penn State.
Give me Alabama. I want LSU, honestly. I mean, I want to know versus this year already. Give me LSU.
You don't want to play with fire. You don't want to play with fire.
Here we go.
Give me LSU just for kicks and giggles, man. I'm going to have to fly out to where you at just to watch that with you. Don't play with Sirius right now. I'm in the mood, man. Back to the task at hand. The NFL kind of took center stage last week. We got some news and notes to get around to. One of the biggest things that I saw as I was preparing for tonight's show is the Los Angeles Rams did inevitably waive Darrell Henderson Jr. He was their leading rusher, going for 270-some-odd yards all year. This has been literally a revolving door in the backfield. He only logged about 4 to 5 snaps on Sunday, and McVay decided to let him go. Daniel Jones looks like he's going to be the guy in New York. Dylan, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Everything that I'm reading right now, seems like they're going to give him the extension or pick up his fifth-year option and kind of see where it's at. Another story that I wanted to get to before we started, you know, popcorn and some other things is that the Cardinals fired their offensive line coach, pretty much citing the simple fact that their running production has been lethargic over the past couple weeks. They averaged 1.2 yards a carry in their game on Monday night in Mexico versus the San Francisco 49ers.
You talking about that Sean guy? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
That the coach? No. That was because of an incident that happened Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it was yet because if you really look into it a little bit more, there was an incident that happened Sunday night. They let him go on Monday and sent him home. He has been part of that guy's staff since the jump. There was some sort of incident of some kind that happened Sunday night, and the team said no. It makes me think, in a city like Mexico City, I don't know, did he go out somewhere? Was he, you know what I mean? But, like, there was some sort of incident happened Sunday night that caused him to be let go before this game ever kicked off. I don't even think he made it to Estadio Azteca on Monday night.
There was an incident in Mexico City. That's all they're saying. Sirius.
I'm reading the article here, and it says something about the offensive line production or whatever. I need to do some digging more into it, but I will yield to you guys about it, seeing as though you guys got more insight on it. But ultimately, he was let go. Okay, so it says offensive line coach, Mexico incident. Then it starts talking about running, averaging 1-point-some-odd yards or whatever it could be. So I'm going to yield to you guys about that. But ultimately, he was let go. Odell Beckham tour is still ongoing. All signs look to him potentially signing with the Dallas Cowboys, which would be interesting to bury the villain Jordan and everybody. But we'll see what goes on. So with that being said, I wanted to kind of switch it up a little bit and kind of give the show a Thanksgiving type of feel, with Thanksgiving being on Thursday, and, you know, we'll probably talk tomorrow about the games on Thursday. But I wanted to talk about teams that, you know, you're looking forward to sitting down and indulging and watching, and then teams you're pushing back and walking away from. And I wanted to start with the New York Football Giants, unfortunately, Dylan. This is a team that got off really, 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 really fast. They surprised a lot of people. They kind of, I don't want to say came back to earth, if you will, but they laid a dud at home against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. So are you signing up to watch this team as the last six games of the season, or are you, you know, kind of starting to temper your expectations and push that play back? Villains, it's your squad. I'll start with you first.
No, listen, it's my team. I'm always excited to watch my team. But the thing is that the Dable got a lot out of this team. And the fact is that Gettleman and company left this team not with a lot of talent, a lot of depth, right? But Wink Martindale and Dable got these guys playing hard, had them playing sound football, tackling, in position, all that good stuff. And they rode that out to a 7-2 record, right? Last Sunday, the wheels came off. Injuries started to kind of pile up, and it got to the point where they had, you know, they always had no receivers, even with Kenny Galladay on the field. He actually caught a couple passes. Congratulations, earned his paycheck. But once you started losing more talent, and the writing is on the wall. 8 men in the box. Stop Saquon at all costs, force Daniel Jones to beat you with no receivers. And it kind of it came back on them. So, and then on defense, when Adoree Jackson went down, their best corner, arguably a Pro Bowl corner this year, in my opinion, they just, you could see the secondary was good, but they were missing tackles. Guys like St. Brown was running wild. It started to kind of get away from them. So, I don't think the Giants have enough talent to I think they could still make a playoff run, but it's going to be really hard. And I don't know if they have enough talent to really to do a lot as much as I thought they were going to do before. So it's tough. I mean, Daniel Jones turning the ball over, and I said it to you, right, slipping into his old habits. He can't, you know, when he's taking care of the ball, it's a lot easier, you know, for this team. You're forcing him to do a lot, and now he's forcing plays. And he has to, because he had to throw the ball over 40 times against the Lions. They can't win like that. So they have to run the football. They have to. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do it against the Cowboys this coming Thursday or in general. So it's going to be tough for this team, but
right.
I hope they can pull through.
Right, right.
So, Mr. Harvey, I'll come to you next, man, with the New York Football
Giants,
you know.
All right.
Yeah, you know, are you buying them, or are you kind of tempering your expectations based off what you saw previously or what you saw on Sunday?
So, there's always this, it makes me laugh because you've seen how many people talk about it. Like, there's always a difference. Sometimes a group of people will see some stuff pop off and they run or they go the other way. And then some people will hear something, everybody goes towards it. And then when something happens and a tragedy happens to a bunch of people, they wonder, why me? You know, and say, well, you're messing around where you shouldn't have. But even if you, even if it was an accident or something happened that you ran away from and you didn't get caught around, you still turned and looked. So I'm watching because the NFC is a bunch of very mediocre teams past a few of them. Like, San Francisco could be the most talented and best team in that conference, and they don't have a very pretty record. But that West is still very much up for grabs. And I say that to look around the league and say, we know there are two teams that are going to finish higher than everybody in the East. And then there's one team that's going to come out of the North, and with all the other and one team out of the South, with all the other mediocre records, everything else is for grabs. So anybody can make the playoffs. This Giants team has really maximized their talent. We've talked about good coaching all year. We've talked about that defense playing well. One other thing that I think kind of goes unnoticed, like the city of New York as a whole had a very, very good draft. We talked about the Jets draft back in the spring. We also talked about the Giants. They did a really good job, you know, putting talent on this roster and trying to maximize it. And if they go with Daniel Jones for another year to prove it, then this is a team that can continue to build more depth around him. Who knows? Maybe they get Beckham. They may not. Barry probably doesn't want him. I don't know if he wants him or not. But you could use him. But, I mean, I think this team is going to, like, struggle to make the playoffs, but they got off to such a fast start that they could be in there. And because they play defense, listen, Saquon's got to be healthy, and Saquon's got to – I mean, they're going to win if he can carry them offensively. Right, and Daniel Jones can make enough plays with their own. That's when they're going to be at their best, as you just said. But, yeah, I think you have to watch them. If nothing else, I think they got a very good young head coach who's got a chance to be around for a while. They got an old Wiley defensive coordinator who knows how to call defenses. You got – I mean, what can they make out of that trash heap at receiver? I don't know. Darius Slayton can still catch some passes and – make some plays for them. And listen, that guy can get open down the field, right? Like, if you could figure out some other stuff, like, just had so many people get banged up. But, I mean, smoke and mirrors or not, it's such a narrow line in the NFL. And because of what the NFC teams look like, anybody could be there for the most part. There are a few teams that, like, they're – chances are going to be pretty much dashed this coming weekend, New Orleans and a few others. But anybody else could be there at the end. So, yes, you definitely watch.
See, I got to double-click on that, Sirius, real quick, Sirius.
Go ahead.
I said it in a chat with you guys. I said it to Sirius. I want to say it again. Joe Shane should get a lot of credit, for, like Mike said, for what he did in the draft. I gave him hell for drafting Wendell Robinson. I was wrong. That kid can play, and they needed that kid. And losing him is a big loss. I think Slayton keeping him was a mistake. Now that is proven to be a big – he is the most important receiver on this team. I was wrong about that as well. I'll go even further. Daniel Jones, I franchise him next year, and I franchise him the year afterwards because I give him 2 years or 3 years with Daboll and Kafka in this offense, get him a little receiver help. I think he can perform. I would keep him. I'd franchise him. I wouldn't sign him to a long-term deal because he doesn't deserve that kind of Dak Prescott kind of money, but I franchise him and run it back.
It's hard to find a quarterback in this league. If you got a guy that's smart enough that can continue to learn and grow within the system and get a little bit better every year with his reads and his progressions and knowing where guys are and building rapport with guys, and you've got a guy of the right age and it allows you to see further into the future, then sometimes you got to decide it's worth that risk.
Right.
And like you
serious.
Said, you got a couple
how many,
franchise years.
How many teams
and you're not
right now,
in.
Sirius, would take Daniel Jones? How many teams would take him right now?
One, two, three, four,
I'm not
five.
Taking I'm not taking him.
Name the teams. I think there's teams like,
so,
I mean.
The Houston Texans, the New York Jets.
Possibly.
The Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
I actually kicked the Saints.
I would.
And we can go back and forth from that if you like. But I mean that's and the Indianapolis Colts. That's five.
Yep. I would go further, probably saying maybe the Titans. You know, because I just don't believe in Tannehill right now.
The Patriots, that's six. 7, maybe?
Maybe the Patriots.
I don't know.
Maybe the Steelers.
I take them this year if I'm the Steelers. You're right. Like, if I could have got Daniel Jones instead. But hold on. If I could have got Daniel Jones instead of Mitchell Trubisky to be my bridge
guy,
I would have done that. And I think that's how you have to think about it. Right? Like,
here's the thing. Mr. Trubisky was the bridge. Because at the end of the day,
when
we drafted Kenny Pickett, the writing was on the wall for how long Mitch Trubisky was going to play anyway.
Right.
Going out against somebody like a Daniel Jones or Jimmy Garoppolo or Marcus Mariota and all these other quarterbacks that were free agents last year that we were looking at potentially bringing in, I don't think they would have dealt with what we were about to deal with. Getting Mr. Bisky wasn't great.
I understand, but listen to what I'm saying. Couple things. A, we act like it's unheard of for a guy to wait a whole year anymore. And I know people haven't done
right.
it. But we act like that's the worst thing for a quarterback's development. And that's quite honestly just not true. there are guys that could use the time because those windows are different. Those systems are different. And they could use the time to really learn and grow the system. Otherwise, yeah, it is some on-the-job training. But secondly, I understand why Trubisky was the answer. I'm just saying, to me, if you take away the money aspect and the age of it and the production of it, and you just look at, like, player for player, what they do on the field, I would have rather had Daniel Jones as my bridge. Now, maybe that bridge is a little bit longer. Maybe it's not as good. Maybe it's rocky. Who knows? I'm just saying, if it was just player for player, I would have rather had Daniel Jones than Mitch Trubisky. When we were just talking about what team would prefer Daniel Jones, I'd take Jones over Trubisky.
I mean, Jones over Trubisky on the space talent wise, I guess I kind of get it. To me, they're one and the same guy. I just think that Daniel Jones right now is outplaying Mr. Trubisky, so you know it's looking tremendously different. But I think that again we lost that hair, and why is Daniel Jones throw up on himself? But I mean, I'm arguing semantics.
So let me answer one quick follow up question. Let me answer one quick follow up question to both of you. So they both have their ups and downs. So who's had the lower lows? Mitch Trubisky with Chicago or Daniel Jones with the Giants? If you take the good and the bad and you just take player for player, is there one that you would much prefer over the other? Take away the age, take away anything else, just like player for player. Who would you take?
I think I would go Mitch Trubisky.
I think that's not fair. That's not fair.
How do you figure? I mean, Here's the thing.
Daniel Jones is smart enough to go to Duke.
Mitch took a team to the playoffs, but he didn't lead them to the playoffs. Right?
Daniel Jones is smart enough to go to Duke.
He
also played for the quarterback coach at Coach Manning's too. He is a very even headier guy. Trubisky, not as much experience and time at the position, not as he's really developed and become better, but I don't know. I feel like Daniel Jones thinks football on a different level, and I don't know for sure that he can show it on the field and get to another level. Maybe he can, but I think we've seen the best of Trubisky. I don't know if we know that about Jones yet.
I think they're one and the same guy, just different color uniform, to be honest with you. But we'll see what happens with it. I mean, I do think, to Villain's point, I do think they tagged him and he's their quarterback next year. I won't be surprised if they drafted, somebody in the later rounds, but it wouldn't shock me if that was their guy. Going forward. Caller number is 929-477-2759 here with Sports City Chefs. I'm going to go ahead and give that same kind of concept to an AFC team, and I'm talking about the New England Patriots here. This is the team that has scrapped and clawed and won ugly but found a way to to be 6-4 and currently in the sixth seed of the AFC playoff picture. Are you buying them, or, you know, is that a dish that you want to eat, or is that like, you know, Brussels sprouts and vegetables, and you want to push that away and go get you something else, man? Mr. Harvey, I'll come to you first talking about the New England Patriots here.
So, I already told you that I'm watching train wreck teams to see, like, who emerges with the less damage with the NFC race. So, I'm probably going to see enough of New England by default because I want to see what kind of numbers this Miami offense can put up, and I want to see, you know, how Josh Allen looks as he continues to progress, and does that arm get any better or not. And, you know, how he holds up so I can get a look at how that's going to look in the postseason. And so, and then, of course, you got to see how they're done with the Jets, so I don't have to see that anymore. So I'm going to see enough of them by default, and because I have some family ties, I have to keep an eye on the Titans a little bit. And I've also got my own very piss-poor football team to watch on Sundays for the rest of this year. That still has a lot of talent on it. But so I'm not going to be like intentionally watching the New England Patriots. Though I expect to see them make some defensive plays and some good stuff happen for them. But they're another ugly offensive team. And I'd rather watch Pat Mahomes continue to show you why he's the best quarterback in the league every week. And show you why it wasn't Tyreek Hill, but Travis Kelce that they needed to keep on that offense, and watch him build rapport with other receivers, and watch that offense continue to hum. I'll watch that. I want to see if Joe Burrow does his thing, and so I might see them by default. But I'm pushing that plate away and finding other things to dig into.
So, Dylan, I'll come to you, man. New England Patriots, man. That's kind of out in your area, so to speak, man. Talk to me about them.
Listen, the villain likes Brussels sprouts. Okay, I don't know about you guys. I love Brussels sprouts. A little, you know, honey, balsamic, little bacon in there. So, you know, I love Brussels sprouts. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Listen, it's a weird question because I think they're going to be there. I think with Belichick, he can stop any offense if you give him a week, right? I think he can always game plan against an offense. I think they're going to be there. Are they watchable? No. Offensively, they look like a loss, like putrid. But defensively, they can take away a lot of things that you want to do well and force you to do things that you can't do well to beat them. They're going to be there. What do you say, Mike?
I was just going to say, you want to find any source of entertainment, find out if they can make Kirk Cousins continue to look like himself on Thursday night. Like, that's what you're going to have to look for. Can you watch?
Exactly.
You look for Belichick to make teams blow up. That's what Belichick does. Can he rattle them enough to see them, like, come unraveled?
Exactly. You know, we're on the Thursday. So, I mean, you know, it's just as important we're on the Thursday. You know, it's just as boring as that. They win. They're 6-4. Like, you can't get away from these guys. So, they're not watchable. They're not fun to watch, but New England fans love it. They love Belichick. They love that whole persona. They're gonna be there. They're going to be annoying till the end.
So,
you know what? I hope they are. Can I tell you why? I don't want them to win, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings to see them go at least one round further, or as deep as Tom Brady does in the playoffs. Just so all these trolls can stop going, see, Belichick wasn't anything without Brady. You know what I mean? Like, I don't love Belichick, and I'm not really, like, down with the Patriots like that at all. But at the same time, like, real recognized real, right? Like, it took them both.
The disrespect of that statement is so annoying for these young kids and all these people that don't know a damn thing about football. Every coach needs a quarterback. Every quarterback needs a coach to win in this league.
Right.
Like I said it to other people, like What would Steve, you know, what would Joe Montana be without Walsh? You know what I mean? What would Chuck Knoll be without Bradshaw? Like, what would Lombardi be without Starr? Like, what are we talking about? Landry and Staubach. Like, you need a great quarterback to win in this league. You can win your one Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, but how many multiple Super Bowls are you going to get with Flacco? Not very many. This guy's looking for a starting job. Like, you need a great quarterback. Right. And, like, Belichick is a great – to me, I'm always going to say Lombardi is the greatest coach ever. But I understand that Belichick is right there and can probably, in some arguments, leapfrog him, not only for what he's done in New England, but we're talking about one of the great defensive coaches that I saw in New York with the Giants when I was a young kid watching them in Super Bowl 25 shut down one of the most high-powered offenses we had ever seen at that point in the Buffalo Bills. Like, you got to respect
and he spun
this guy.
And he spun Nick Saban off his staff.
Exactly. Like, everybody wants look at his record in Cleveland. Look at what he did. He took that Cleveland team. If they hadn't left town, that team was a Super Bowl team. That team he spun into is the Baltimore Ravens.
It is. And the defensive coordinator for that team was Nick Saban, who then later goes to Michigan State and later goes to LSU. And let's be honest. Like, just like you say, and they both come off the same staff, right? But just like you say, Bill Belichick, you can understand the argument over Lombardi. You can say the same thing when it comes to Nick Saban. And who's the other guy? I mean, Bear Bryant down south, right?
Yeah,
with how many titles he was able to win. And, I mean, let's be honest, with the Les Miles title at LSU is because of Saban. If he stays there, he probably wins more than he did at Alabama because he wouldn't have had to rebuild LSU. It was already at that level when he left and went to the NFL for 2 years.
Right.
So, but what I'm saying is arguably in today's modern day, the best two coaches in college and pro came off of one staff. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's wild when you stop and think about it. But for me, gentlemen, to bring it back home a little bit, I'm pushing them back. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really buying the New England Patriots for a plethora of reasons, but they are extremely discombobulated on the offensive side of the ball. You don't really have legitimate go-getter dog type of weapons on the outside. Matt Jones is really, really helter-skelter, so to speak. You really cannot consistently count on him to do anything for you. You have a two-headed monster in the backfield and Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, which drive the football players crazy because you really can't, you know, pencil any one of them in to get the significant work that you need to be successful. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I just do not foresee the New England Patriots doing too much of anything in the playoffs, barring them getting there. We still got a lot of football left to play, and the New England Patriots have quite an interesting next couple games coming up on their schedule, starting with this upcoming Thursday night game. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, on tomorrow's episode versus the Minnesota Vikings. But they got the Vikings, the Bills, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Bengals, the Dolphins, and the Bills. So we're going to learn a lot about the New England Patriots these next six games as they play some of the juggernauts.
They better win the games they're supposed to.
But my question is this. They have, quote-unquote, two games, if you will, that they're supposed to win versus the Arizona Cardinals and the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't foresee them playing too well against the Minnesota Vikings. I don't see them beating the Buffalo Bills. I don't see them beating the Cincinnati Bengals. I sure as hell don't see them beating the Dolphins or the Bills again. So when it's all said and done, we'll see.
I'm telling you, they got six now, right? So you got the two that they were supposed to win. Listen, Kirk Cousins could be running scared. We'll see this coming Thursday night. But you look between that, could they split with the Bills? They can have a bad weather day and be able to run the ball at them. They did it last year. It's possible that they could win one, if not two, of those three division games. But even if you get one of them, that gets you to 9 wins. And then Cincinnati's possible. I mean, this team could win 10 games. This team could go 9-8, 10-7, about where we expected them to be. And it'll just depend on how the tiebreakers fall as to whether or not they end up in the playoffs. And if they are,
right.
Look out for the matchup because he's going to have a game plan.
I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, Bill Belichick is one of the best to ever draw because I know he's on the board, you know. But I digress, man. Call the numbers 929-477-2759. Villain, I'm going to come right back to you, man. You wanted to talk New York Jets and Zach Wilson. Speaking of the New England Patriots, man, give me a dish on it, man. Tell me how you feel about Zach Wilson. There's been a lot surrounding this guy about not taking responsibility for what took place in the stadium on Sunday versus the Patriots. Give me your position on it, my man.
I mean, I'm home watching the Giants game, and, you know, my dad calls me, so we're on the phone watching the game together. That's how we watch football. And I'm like, you watching this Jets game? And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. They averaged in the second half 2.7 inches per play. Not yards, inches. Inches. All right, that was a disgraceful performance. And for your quarterback after the game to get asked a simple question, do you think you let your defense down? That's a layup question. And he said no. I've seen everybody talking about it. That's a boy, not being a man, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I you know, ran a staff at my previous job, had people working for me. One of the things I learned in manager class, when they teach you how to be a manager, you have to go through a training program. When your group or whatever does well, it's we. When your group does poorly or doesn't hit numbers, it's I. That's what you get learned in the real world. For football, it's the same thing. All you had to say is, I need to play better. That's all you had to say. But your arrogance and your cockiness and your fear to be a stability and to not act like a child, but to act like an adult, you wanted to say no. Now you got to go in that locker room. And I know Robert Saleh didn't take too kindly because before he said no, he said, I have no question. He's my core, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, we're evaluating the situation. And he was 2 hours late to his press conference yesterday, which means he was meeting with everybody in the organization about to make a decision. And my decision, if I was the coach, if I was Robert Saleh, I'm benching him. I'm benching him. Not because he said no at the podium, but because guess what? When you've been out there, you've stunk. 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. This guy is terrible right now. He's not playing good football. You're a 6-4 team in spite of the fact that your quarterback is trash right now, playing like trash. If you want to save your season and save your job, because Fowler's job is not guaranteed, Sirius. He could be gone this coming the end of this season. He had a bad season last year, and you start, you know, what were they, 5-2 or 6, whatever, and you don't miss the playoffs, he could be gone. He could be gone. So I'm getting Matt White, or I'm getting Joe Flacco up and saying, out of you two, which one of you wants it? Which one are you going to take me to the playoffs? Just save my job. And then I'll figure it out with Zach Wilson next year. Two things. This kid is playing like trash. He needs to be benched until he figures it out. And guess what? You thought that you had it right. That second draft pick of that season, and you picked Zach Wilson, you should have got Justin Fields. How do you feel now?
Yeah, that's another thing. I am shocked they didn't go get Justin Fields. That blew my mind.
And everybody knew they were going to take Wilson. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew that he was the guy that everybody knew the Jets were going to take that kid. But something about him made me think, like, is he's a good quarterback, but is he good enough for New York? He didn't look like a New York quarterback. He just didn't look like it. And you could see he doesn't have the makeup. He was protected. He was coddled at BYU. And you can't – it's hard in New York. It's hard. Ask Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones had a crappy game. He said, I got to do better. I can't make those throws. I can't throw those interceptions. He said it after the Lions game. Then you go see Zach Wilson after the game. He's talking about, nope, nope. Like, it's just a different animal, man. Eli Manning, when Eli Manning won every game, he was accountable. He was there. And it was so funny, Sirius, and then I'm going to get off it. I listen to the fan every Monday after a game, after a Giants game, right, when Eli Manning was the quarterback. And he would have a segment with Mike Francesa about 5 o'clock. And I swear to God, you wouldn't get anything from him. He would say the same thing. It was like we were winning, saying the same thing. I got to do better. We could do some things. We're headed in the right direction, blah, blah, blah. But we, when we lost, I got to do better. I can't make that decision, blah, blah, blah. It was the most boring 20-plus, 30 minutes of radio you could listen to. But you never got – he never was too high. He was never too low. He always took accountability. He was there answering the tough questions from Mike, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got this kid. You got a layup, and you say no. If I'm a defensive player, and serious, you played the game. I don't want to play with a dude like this, some 22-year-old punk that can't even, in front of the media, take accountability and take it upon himself. Aaron Rodgers had a bad game. He had a bad game the week before. I got to do better. I got to do better. This kid, no. No, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the funny thing. I echo everything you said times 20. My issue with the situation at hand is you can't look at that particular game and you call yourself an NFL player. You can't look at what just fired and not feel some type of way about it. Like, at the end of the day, you moved literally, what was it, 2 inches or 2 feet per drive?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't move the football. You had 103 total yards of offense in an NFL game. Like, are you flipping kidding me? Like, that's the fact that you lost the way you lost. And again, here's why I'm going to come to his aid for a second. Because when you lose in the manner in which they did, and then you got reporters shoving microphones in your face trying to, talk about how you feel and this, that, and the third, like, I get it. I've been there. I've done it. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, you are sitting there, you're on the field, you're watching that, you're looking at the iPad and you're seeing the still shots and you're talking to your offensive coordinator, your offensive line coach and your receiver. Like, you're talking to all these people and they're trying to give you the game plan, trying to put you in positions to be successful, and you don't get it done. Like, again, that is This is the first bad game Zach Wilson's had. For goodness sakes, the brother went to BYU. He wasn't throwing darts all over the field. Like, at the end of the day, he has had bad games before. I don't understand why he decided to answer the question in the manner in which it did. And essentially, it kind of, put a knife through the team. Like, we all this defense fought. This defense clawed. This defense did everything that it had to do to put the New York Football Jets in position to win the ball game, and the offense literally laid an egg. Mr. Harvey, you've been very quiet back there, man. Give me your position on this Zach Wilson situation in New York.
there are very few positions in any sport that you can, like, not take accountability and it matter. Like, but this position, like quarterback, no. That, because so many other things have to happen and so many other people have to play for you, and just because of the way that, you know, the whole dynamic works and you carry that team. You can misspeak and be a little selfish sometimes as a receiver or a DB, or they ain't throwing me the ball, nobody ever pick on me, or I can't help what other people are doing on the other side of the field. Like, and you can kind of, like, explain that away, saying, well, it's an individual position, this kind of thing. But when it comes to the quarterback position, you have to take some accountability. I'm so confused by Zach Wilson. His numbers have just been very, very pedestrian, even worse than what we've had in New Orleans, for sure. They just won more. It's just the way that it's fallen, and that defense is good, but and they've been healthier in general until Hall went down. But, you know, he looked like a professional quarterback against the Steelers earlier in the year. Now, they didn't have a lot, but and so you could see kind of flashes, and you knew he's sort of a raw project. But, I mean, when I see this, I'm like, okay, my first thought is he's going to have the same kind of ending, or this, you know, I've seen this movie before, and the credits look a lot like Sam Darnold's picture.
I mean, at the end of the day, this New York Jets team, I think it has talent on it. I just don't believe that they are best ran with Zach Wilson currently. And again, back to Zolan's point, you know, Sala, you know, didn't really commit, you know, to who he's going to throw out there on Sunday. You know, you got receivers, you know, frustrated and, you know, unloading. You know, Garrett Wilson, you know, talked about his frustration. You got Denzel Mims talking about how he had zero to no chemistry with Zach Wilson. And the thing is, you know, early on when Zach Wilson was working himself back from injury, this offense was humming with Joe Flacco under center. So it would not really shock me one bit if, you know, come Sunday, you know, Joe Flacco's back out there and this New York Jets team starts to make moves and starts to hum a little bit. I mean, at the end of the day, they got the Chicago Bears, a team that doesn't play any type of defense and that has traded away any type of defensive asset. So if there was ever a defense that you quote-unquote want to get right with, now keep in mind, I said that exact same thing talking to a buddy of mine about last week against the Detroit Lions, you know, and you got the, you know, Giants who couldn't do the damn thing. But we're talking about the New York Jets here. So I do think the New York Jets find a way to get themselves offensively moving in the right direction. Now, when they win the ball game, we'll see it. I think a lot of that has to be, you know, predicated upon what happens with Justin Fields and his injury. But I digress.
Right.
But
seriously, you know what? I got to double click on it real quick. You're right. Garrett Wilson came out and said the right things. He said what Zach Wilson should have said. It was unacceptable. We got to do better. We got to move the ball. We didn't have enough yards, blah, blah, blah. He said everything right. He was impassioned, and he said what Zach Wilson should have said. Garrett isn't the only one that has a problem with him. You're right. Many was saying he had no chemistry with him. Elijah Moore, I was killing him this year. He wanted to get traded from a team that was winning games. I called him selfish. Now you can see, no, I think it's that offense and that defense against Zach Wilson. They don't believe in him. They don't like him. They don't want him to be their quarterback. It's clear.
Right.
That's why he wanted to get traded. He didn't want to get traded from a good team. He wanted to get traded away from a quarterback that he doesn't believe in. That's the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I honestly believe that 100%. And again, the writing is already on the wall with it. Again, when Zach Wilson wasn't in there, that offense was humming and moving and grooving. You didn't hear about, you know, Denzel Mims wanting to get traded. You didn't hear about Elijah Moore wanting to be out because everybody was eating, everybody was moving the ball, everybody was helping move this thing forward, and then that defense was able to support that and come behind that. But at the end of the day, you know, I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that Zach Wilson is who he is. You know, he was drafted when he was drafted, and Joe Flacco is the backup. But again, keeping it a whole buck with you, I will be oddly surprised if come Sunday Joe Flacco isn't the starting quarterback of the New York Football Jets for that game against Chicago. Call the number 929-477-2759, man. It's been a fun show. The show has kind of flown by, but I wanted to kind of give each of you gentlemen an opportunity to talk about something, you know, to throw something out there before we shut it down this evening. Mr. Harvey, I'll come to you first, sir.
So there are teams that I have definitely been wrong on in the league this year. You know, I was wrong on my Saints, for sure. A lot of us are wrong on Geno Smith. Against Seattle, I'll find a way to compete. I don't know. I mentioned earlier, it's fun watching Pat Mahomes take another step and develop rapport with other guys. I mean, clearly Tariq Hill is a legit star, and you're seeing like him and Waddle are putting up record-breaking numbers, at least for a first half in Miami, right? But at the same time, like his chemistry and rapport with Travis Kelce is continuing to be there. And I think that's the indispensable piece that offense had to have. And if you were going to go one way or the other, you see why they went the direction that they did. So what can this team be? I told everybody I was bullish on this team going into the season. I thought that you have to knock them off. They were the kingpins in that division until you knock them off. And they're there. And so that's the team that I'm looking at that I'm glad to see. I'm still curious to see what Cincinnati could do trying to salvage things with some guys banged up. And then I was wrong on the Tennessee Titans, man. Listen, we don't know about quarterback play. We know that they go as Derrick Henry goes. But watching them even a couple weeks ago against Kansas City, that defense appears to be way more legit than I initially believed. So I don't think that this is a team that's a Super Bowl contender, but when you have a guy like Derrick Henry on that other sideline, if you make any plays down the field at all, because, listen, they got a dumpster fire at their wide receiver position as well.
Right.
But if you look at that, this is a team, though, that on the wrong day could beat anybody. I mean – knock off a Super Bowl favorite or whatever and beat him handily if Derrick Henry, you know, is going crazy and you can't bring him down or stop him. I just don't think they can string together wins to, you know, be a Super Bowl contender, but they could ruin somebody's day and somebody really good day too.
Right. It's funny you mentioned the Tennessee Titans, man. I wanted to put them in the, you know, push away dish or, you know, bring close to your Thanksgiving dish. But for me, they are so one-dimensional that it bothers me.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, like, you can't trust Tannehill as far as you can throw him. Now, Treylon Burks, the rookie, has started to kind of solidify himself as that wide receiver one for them out there. But, again, Ryan Tannehill is your trigger man. And, you know, for me to really – want to hitch my wagon to a squad, I look at the trigger man ultimately, and I can't trust Tannehill. But as you currently sit here, they're the third place team in the AFC, so it is what it is. Go ahead, homie.
No, I'm just thinking it's like taking a knife to a gunfight with some of these quarterbacks in the league when you go with Ryan Tannehill. Because he ain't really rubber band man. He ain't strapped on both sides, you know, ready to go. So.
Right. Yeah.
Well, give him credit. He doesn't win you a lot of games. He doesn't lose you a lot of games either. I mean, he had a horrible, what I think it was the playoff game. He threw four picks. I think that was probably his worst game. But I feel you. He doesn't move me. But you got it. The Tennessee Titans are a team that's not going to go away. They're not, because they got King Henry. They got a good head coach, and they got a solid defense.
He does have a strong arm, though. And like, so if a guy gets open or whatever, he does have a strong arm. He can make the throws.
Right.
They may not always go where he wants them to, but he can make the throws. And it's really scary if you go look at it, because, and I know a lot of it could be in spite of him too, but like the number of wins that he has over the last few years as a starting quarterback, it puts him in pretty elite company in the NFL right now.
I mean, I get it, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, I look at stuff like quarterback wins and losses, and I look at it like this: were you driving the bus, or were you just riding the bus? And a lot of those wins, you alluded to.
He's just making sure it don't run off the road.
Exactly. Like, it's not hard.
Put some gas in that mug.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, but again, I mean, he I have seen him make throws. I have seen him make the necessary plays to win a game or to get a team over the hump. But he and Jimmy Garoppolo are kind of one of the same for me. Like, you know, with Jimmy wins, though, no. Jimmy's a class participant, you know, and on the project that just so happens to get an A+. Your name is just on the paper. You know what I'm saying? But
that's a dangerous team, Sirius. That's a dangerous 49er team.
They really are when you look at those weapons. But listen, Derrick Henry drives the bus. Tannehill he's the Tannehill transportation tip. So he does like any and everything that needs to be done to keep it. Like, he doesn't let it run off the road. He'll polish it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll do everything to make it look like he's an integral part. Yet he's not the one like really pulling anything.
Definitely not.
The Tannehill transportation tip.
Definitely not. Lon, I'll come to you, man, before we get out of here, man. Anything that you wanted to talk about, you wanted to hit before we shut it down for this year, this week?
I mean, I apologize to Joe Shane for his draft pick.
Wow.
And I was wrong, and the villain is going to go against everything I've said, because that's what a villain does. A villain can't be trusted. Odell Beckham Jr., come home. Just come home. We need you. And if you go to Dallas, I will hate your guts for the rest of your life, just like I hate LeBron's guts.
Oh,
I respect the hell out of LeBron. I respect the hell out of LeBron, but I hate his guts. And if Odell Beckham he said it's between two teams, New York and Dallas, and if you pick Dallas, when you know the other team is New York, you will never be allowed in New York City again. We will never allow you in this town. We will revoke you. You'll never be allowed in here. We'll never. My daughter still wears her jersey. I'll never put it on her again. Never, never, ever, ever, ever.
if that happens. If I'm in a meeting, I'm stepping out of the meeting. If I'm in a church service, I'm stepping off the drums. I could be I'm calling you immediately. I'm not even
playing. You're telling me during a song, doing like, I don't know, Jesus on the Main Line, you're beating the drums, you'll stop mid-song, and you'll come to the bottom of me? You would do that?
I will stop mid-song and pick up my phone and be like, "Yo, villain,
can you imagine? I can't complain,
brother. When you need,
I can't complain." And then you stop. You know, I can't. You would do that too. You would do that. But listen, I hope he's healthy. I hope he's healthy. He's done a lot. His value, obviously, but to pick up where he left off in New York, where he was a pariah in New York, and to be, you know, where he was in L.A., a good teammate. He's never had complaints about being a good teammate, but, you know, he had a good Super Bowl before he got hurt. He's a hot commodity, but I want him to play, but I want him to be healthy. I want him I hope he's healthy. But if he is, get out there and play, and I hope he can help the team, and I hope it's the Giants over Dallas.
Here's
I'd rather be in New York.
Here's my issue with Odell, and we'll get out of here on that. I believe he wants to go for play with a team that has a chance to compete and win a championship. Okay. Now, I don't think that the New York Football Giants are that team. I think if he's able to go pair up with the other team that he may have mentioned, I think they have a better shot. Still, honestly, believe that all signs look for Buffalo. I just think that Buffalo is where he ultimately ends up. I mean, possibly Kansas City is a dark horse. I was in the barbershop yesterday, and I was talking with a Giants fan about it, and he, you know, said that he wants him to come back to New York. And I can't foresee him putting his body through what his body has to go through to come back to be a wide receiver one when he is clearly not that. You know,
right.
I mean, but we will see what happens with it, man. But Mr. Harvey, man, it's a pleasure to talk with you, man. Go on and give us a plug and a close out as we shut it down this evening.
Serious, we talked last weekend, so let me go ahead and get my one thing about the black and gold out of the way. Listen, Dalton was 21 or 25, where was that in prime time or when we needed it. But the Saints also had Taysom Hill produce in the rushing game, and that Saints offense goes as he goes. If you shut him down and he doesn't do anything offensively, you're not going to. This team's 4-7. They go into San Francisco this week to play in the Bay Area. And listen, San Francisco is this may be the best team in the NFC. You know, they might have four losses. Whatever they got, record's not pretty right now. But all the weapons on this team, you got two legit, really good running backs in McCaffrey and Mitchell, Eminem's at the running back position. And then you got, you know, you look at Devo and you look at Ayuk and you look at Kittle. I mean, you got so many weapons on this team that they're still trying to figure out how to use. This is a very good football team. If Garoppolo can make enough plays for them, because once again, this isn't your star quarterback. This is a guy kind of just directing traffic. And if he does enough, this team can really and if McCaffrey can be healthy for them down the stretch, this team could be a problem against anybody. So check out the barbershop on Clubhouse, man, right around the 15,000 mark, getting right there. Rooms all week long, man, like in the evenings and throughout live sports, man. Check out PHI Apparel. I'll let Barry tell you about the website. But check out PHI Apparel, man. Like, we got 15% off if you use Chefs at checkout. So, you know, represent Philly. Sixers playing the Nets tonight. Eagles still with a bounce back. They were lucky to get out alive, though. Let me say that. With a win this past weekend. But, hey, listen, still rolling. So, support any teams from the city of Brotherly Love, man. We've got the PHIPL.co Chefs to check out. And check out other shows. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Central for the Colts Cookout Sunday morning. Thomas and I, and usually somebody else will stop by with us before the time, too, 11:30 on a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday for the Thomas Sunday morning brunch. Yeah, man, but until next time, man, it's always a pleasure. Much respect and love to the head honcho, man. The Thomas one, without him, I wouldn't be here, man. And every day I'm grateful for the pleasure and privilege, man, to share space with you two chefs, man, Sirius and my boy Barry the villain, bro. And grateful for both of you guys, man. Laissez les bon temps rouler, yo. Peace.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Mr. Harvey. I swear, I was waiting for him to get to that part. Everything else he said,
I just wait.
I wait for that right there.
I just wait patiently.
Villain, man, give us a plug in the clubhouse to get out of here, my man.
Yeah, man, listen, Sports City Chefs, get to the website, the blogs, the interviews, all that good stuff. We got shows all week, Finger Food Series. I know it's going to be cooking. You know, listen, it's going to be tough doing a show, but, you know, I got to do it with TP. Pray for me, man. Pray that I don't lose my temper. Goddamn lying.
Well, it's coming tomorrow night. I'm surprised you didn't jump in.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised, too. I heard from him. Don't worry. I heard from him all Sunday as soon as the game was over, like, religiously.
Oh,
I told him I was telling my daughter. I told him that Avery, Uncle Ty is being mean to your daddy. She was not happy. She was like, Ty! But, you know, listen.
Heard from him all over the shop, too. And listen, he had to post up today real quick in the barbershop. He had to post up today. He said your boy should be his guy from the Lions, Hutchinson, should be defensive rookie of the year instead of Sauce. That's he went that he went that high.
All right, so the show tomorrow is canceled. I'm not doing the show. I'm just not gonna show. But no, okay, listen, it'll be fun. We'll get it in, talk some football before we get some turkey and stuff like that. But serious, always a pleasure doing the show with you. Thanks for having me. You know,
yes,
just listen, support. Get to PHI Apparel. We love those guys. 15% off your order. Use the code promo code Chefs. But serious, man, you know what to do, man. Get us out of here, bro.
Man, it's your boy Serious repping that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the NFL Wrap Up Show, Week 11 edition. Man, this is gonna be the last time I pop in here before the holidays, man. If I want to say anything, man, you know, take care of those you love, man, and spend some time with your family and loved ones, man. Tomorrow's not promised. With that being said, God bless. I catch you with you guys on the next one, man. And as CP always say, tell a friend to tell a friend it's the Chefs again. If they don't know, nah, they know.
Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on the spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs. Yeah. Cabs. Taj.
Connecticut.